Hello and welcome to the podcast. You're joining us 6.5 hours since Pascal Donoghue stood up and delivered his budget in the Dáil, followed by Jack Chambers, of course, and here to discuss our Paul Cunningham and Micheál Lehane political correspondence with ourselves, RTE News.
Who are you?
And I am, of course, Joe McGrailey here.
Excellent.
Standing in for Áine Lawler. It takes a bit of time for people to digest what's in a budget and before you see sort of themes emerging. What's the word this evening, Paul? What's it looking like? Is it the opposition version? Is it the government version?
It seems to me as if the theme is the same one as yesterday. There wasn't a...
What was that, Paul?
A cost of living split between government and opposition over what was required. The government saying it's time to stem the spending a bit. We have to focus, we have to take decisions, we have to, you know, focus on certain payments rather than make universal cash outs to everyone. They need to invest into capital, whether that's energy, housing or water. And then we also need to do a couple of other things as well, you know. Say, for example, business, protecting jobs. This would be another thing where they're going to cut the VAT for the hospitality as well. And then on the other side of the fence, you, the opposition, saying the biggest and only thing in town is the cost of living. When you people have got such huge hikes in food and electricity, you can't abandon those people now. And particularly, you know, giving cash to business but nothing for middle workers, it just doesn't make sense. You can't do it.
Yeah, that's particularly something that's come out from the opposition, that this is great for business, great for burger barons and big builders, Micheál, while the government are saying, look, there's a whole lot here, but we're moving from universal once-offs to a more of a steady-as-she-goes approach. It's the first budget of five.
Yeah, and there's colourful language to describe it. Jed Nash talking about Ranald McDonald being prioritised over Joe and Joan Murphy. Also, people really focusing in on that hospitality food part of it cut in particular, and that you do have this large cohort of workers who are struggling with the cost of living, and that there really isn't anything there for them. So, and that is one of the big themes. I suppose Patrick Tobin sums it up well too when he talks about this being a post-election budget, and I think governments say, well, it's the first of five, but it is this big opportunity, you feel, for Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers now as well, to get in control of things. It's not really about today. It's about trying to demonstrate throughout next year that the expenditure growth and current expenditure is really somewhere around the 5% mark or just above it, that you don't have those days when the huge supplementary budgets and estimates coming into the House, that the figures today are almost fantasy football, that it's really a far bigger figure. I think that's what today was about from their point of view. But it does come at surely some political costs. I don't know, are the government helped or not by the fact that Fianna Fáil are in a crisis? And in some way that has taken some of the attention off what has been an unusual and a fairly strict and stringent, prudent budget compared to what has gone for the last 4 or 5 years.
I mean, it doesn't go far enough if you're looking at some experts, whether the central bank, the ESRI, the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, which we have to remember was established after the bust to make sure it didn't happen again. All of them were saying that this is an expansionary budget. It risks overheating things. And even if you did have 7.9 billion, it should be less than that. So the government was sort of caught.
Yes, they're never going to win one way or the other. But in terms, the government will obviously say that there is an awful lot in here in terms of taking care of the most vulnerable. They're talking, we've got the 10 euro increase in welfare payments. You've got the 100% Christmas bonus. You've got the working family payments. Minimum wage up 65 cents an hour.
Fuel allowance will be made available to all families that are on the working family payment, and that child payment as well for low income families going up for the under 12s by, I think, 8 euro and 16 for those who are over 12. You've things like the footwear allowance being extended and back to school allowance for 2 to 3 year olds. Now as well, so, and domiciliary carers allowance going up by 20 euro. You can say that that's targeted, and you can say that that's progressive, but I suppose you still have, and there's an admission in some of the budget speeches from the government side today, that costs are still going up for families and going up for many working families, and that there is this huge swathe of the population that probably don't get a benefit.
Just one on the negative side, Micheál mentioned what the government says is a positive. Some of the strongest language came from the Disability Federation of Ireland. Now, the Irish Wheelchair Association was already out saying it didn't like it, but the DFI went a step further, and it has described Budget 2026 as a betrayal of disabled people, stripping away vital supports and deepening poverty. And it pointed out that the past three budgets have recognised the extra cost of disability through the Disability Support Grant, and the Disability Federation of Ireland said, taking this and other once-off payments away without a permanent replacement is estimated to have cost disabled people around €1,400. I mean, that's pretty strong language. In reply, the Minister for Social Protection, Dara Cleary, he said two things. One was that this budget is focused more on services and they've got €600 million in for that. And then when it comes to the actual payment, they recognise the need for it, but they can't do it in this budget, has to be next. But nonetheless, those words are pretty stinging, and that's a difficult place to call Budget 2026 a betrayal of disabled people.
And that was a once-off payment they got for the last 3 years, correct?
And one would have thought that if they were going to have a permanent payment introduced in the next budget, you would allow it to roll over and then the system would take that into account. But, you know, there's
especially because disability is one of the big parts of the programme for government. It's one of the big priorities, and it's something that all sides of government were talking about in the lead-in to the budget. If you didn't have the one-off measures for large groups that they were going to be targeted for disability is a big priority, apparently.
The other thing that there's a lot of dispute about is the €500 reduction in the college fees, Micheál. Yeah. We know from previous budgets there was a 1,000 reduction per year for the last number of years. But now people have been told, well, you're getting a permanent €500 reduction. So that's good news for the students and for the parents that are paying the fees.
Yeah, I don't know, does it take the sting out of it? I suppose it is better than early indications that it might have been a very slow journey down to having that permanent reduction of close to 1,000, maybe ultimately in the end. They've gone halfway there on the first time. I mean, that's fairly...
But in effect, people are paying 500
people are going
more
to pay 500
this year.
More this year, yeah. But does it put out the political fire? You feel if there wasn't such a focus on it on the way into the summer, where it really was the dominant political theme for several weeks, that they probably wouldn't even have gone as far as the €500 permanent cut.
In terms of the VAT rate cut as well, Paul, we knew it was coming for hospitality, hairdressers and
big burger joints.
And big burger joints as well. Well, that's the thing. That aspect of the VAT cut has been focused on by the opposition. But isn't it reasonable to say as well, though, that the cafes, the restaurants up and down the country really do need this as well?
Yeah, and Michael Collins of Independent Ireland is the leader of an opposition party, and he welcomes it and says this is something that is really, really needed. I suppose where the burn comes, particularly for more left-wing parties from Labour through to People Before Profit, is that this isn't focused into Joe's local cafe. It also includes some of the other bigger entities like McDonald's.
Supermax.
In reply, the government says that each of those are franchises, like each restaurant has just got its own sort of person who's running it and got their own staff, and therefore it makes sense for them too to also qualify. But it was Ruth Coppinger talking about McDonald's making a profit of €41 million last year, and it's going to make even more this year as a result of the government helping them out when people don't have enough money to pay their electricity bills, 300,000. That's quite a powerful argument, and it does make it difficult for the government to come back on it.
Mm-hmm. There's also a VAT cut for apartments, the sale of apartments as well, Micheál.
Yeah, another one of these measures which the government think can work. They think the building
so
of apartments is
key. So people can look
key.
Forward to cheaper apartments.
But of course they can't. And all the history would show that that has never been the case. But does it provide, because it's up until 2030, so it's a fairly nailed down commitment by government. Does it ultimately increase supply? And I mean, that's the hope, isn't it, within government, that that brings down the price. But it won't mean at all that there'll be a cut to the price in the short term.
Mm. No doubt there'll be an awful lot more maybe that will come to the fore in this budget as people digest it over the next number of hours and the next number of days. Can we briefly...
What about the tax cut or the tax measure for the Yillin pipes and the harps, if you're restoring
them? Of course,
them?
Yeah, we were looking
have
for
some... Have you one for you now, Paul?
Some good of the more...
I don't remember that one now, I have to say.
Ones, the defence budget increase, there's going to be new uniforms for the defence forces. Everybody's going to get a new uniform.
They actually mentioned the uniform change about a year ago, and particularly it was to do with tactical stuff. I mean,
well,
usually what happens is, you know, if the shoes go from brown to black, or he has to take all of the footage and then sort of put it in a box so we get the
and
new ones. But
this
is pretty big stuff they're doing now. Mm.
And in fairness, the defence budget, the new uniform is one part of it. They're also providing, I think, for the solar and the radar that we've long been talked about too. And then, Micheál, you mentioned there, it was the tax cut for anybody who is... either makes or manufactures or maintains Yillin pipes and Irish harps.
Right.
It's there. It was there already. It's been renewed. Apparently the first €20,000 you're tax-free. Very interesting.
How much are you selling harps for then?
Finn harps.
Good Donegal team, sure. Love them.
But I can't imagine they'd be cheap because obviously clearly, the harp is probably
the first 20 grand is
manufactured as well.
Yeah. You might learn the harp, Paul.
More of a bass player myself, you know.
And of course, the artist income support scheme has also been rolled over and renewed too.
Yeah, but it's going to become permanent. It's going from a pilot to a permanent scheme in the middle of next year. So about 2,000 artists at the moment getting €325 a week. So that's going to be expanded a bit by bit, year by year. There will be more. So Patrick O'Donovan demonstrating his commitment to the arts.
And I think that'll be interesting to watch is what assessment are they making as to who qualifies?
Who qualifies? That's what I was thinking, because it's obviously
you look as if you've got a bit of art. You look as if you've got a bit of artist in your Joe yourself.
A week would be fantastic, but they cannot possibly give that to every artist working in the country. So that will be, I assume it will remain as a lottery type
situation.
There's
a few artists in my local pub, you know.
Anyway, let's briefly just touch on Fianna Fáil. And
€3 million for the
meeting.
League of Ireland was an interesting one from a sports perspective. That's the big initiative now to try and develop soccer as an industry in Ireland, and that ultimately improves the national team. They wanted €4 million in the first year for the youth academies. They got 75% of it, but it's notable all the same. Although criticism that something like the NFL game
got 10 million euro for a single game. Yeah,
but of course that was more a tourism initiative than a sporting one.
One other thing, just because there's three guys here in the podcast, one thing that came up from several female deputies in the Dáil today related to what budget allocation was it going to be for women's refugees in relation to domestic violence, that this is an area, there's some counties that still don't have any. The numbers have gone up, which is encouraging because women are coming forward, not always women, but mostly women. But the government hasn't responded, and that while they will use honeyed words, they're not seeing it in hard cash. And that was something that was mentioned by several speakers, including mentioning her again, Ruth Coppinger of Solidarity.
Maureen Farrell as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, look, we leave the budget there. People will be able to assess it over the next 12, 24, 36 hours. Finally, briefly, Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting is taking place tomorrow evening. First item on the agenda, not the budget, the presidential election. What does that say, Paul?
So the presidential election was and is a catastrophe for Fianna Fáil. It's also been damaging, particularly for Micheál Martin and to a lesser extent to Jack Chambers. My sense of it from talking to Fianna Fáil, our Oireachtas members today, is that there will be sound and fury, but ultimately this will be resolved. I don't think this is going to turn into a blood on the walls heave. I think it'll be a lot of angry people who will be making points about the changes that they want, and then they move on.
Yeah. Do you concur, Micheál?
Yeah, well, there won't be a heave, but I think there is a mission by some to start inflicting damage on Micheál Martin now to consolidate the damage that is done as they see it already. They didn't think he was anywhere near contrite enough on the 6-1 news when his first movement in that was to say that Jim Gavin was democratically elected by the parliamentary party. But of course he was, but under orders or strong persuading anyway from the party leader that is the candidate that he wanted. So he's going to have to be a lot more contrite. Micheál Martin typically locks people almost away in a room for several hours and lets them talk and talk and talk to get the anger out of their system.
But doesn't
could be something
the
like
defense
that,
that they did their due diligence? They asked the candidate repeatedly. The candidate didn't recall in time. I mean, isn't that the defense?
Didn't even have mature recollection.
Well, even that from another
lost in the recesses of the mind.
Yes. Deep in the recesses of the mind.
So, I mean,
but I suppose
there is that defence, isn't there?
There is a defence, but sorry to interrupt you, but it is that issue of you're taking a non-politician into a political world in one of the most vicious, nasty electoral contests you could possibly find. If you'd chosen someone like Billy Keller, he would have weathered any storm.
Yeah. And I mean,
the campaign was awful.
And was Jim Gavin ultimately making his way into single digit figures there? And there was a possibility of that. And many within Fianna Fáil say as soon as 20, 30 seconds into hearing Jim Gavin speak and address them, they knew this thing wasn't going to work. How did Micheál Martin and Jack Chambers have no inkling that this is not the person that you want to bring into this kind of arena? They didn't.
I wonder, could it have been more damaging ultimately had he stayed in the campaign
and it began to decline even worse
as it went along in terms of support in the opinion polls?
But even though what has happened, and I don't know how sincere that is or not, but there does seem to be a view within many in Fianna Fáil that the treatment by the party leadership of Jim Gavin was appalling, and they haven't seen the likes of it before. But it's a cruel game, and they exist in a cruel game. Are they just saying that to inflict more damage on Micheál Martin, or do they genuinely feel bad? But at a personal level, even though there was something wrong in what was done in relation to rents and disputes and all that. It was a particularly ignominious ending for Jim Gavin, who had an impeccable public service and sporting record coming into this.
And I suppose he can't really forget about this because his name is going to be on the ballot paper, so this is going to be hanging around for the next 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing he has to do, even though he's not a candidate anymore, is resolve that issue with the former renter and get that done as soon as possible. Once that's done, if he has the finance and has the capacity, he can get away from it.
Or yeah. People might vote
go
for him.
Go on holiday, go
people
somewhere.
People might vote for him.
There is that, the name's still on the ballot paper and there will be people who vote for him for all kinds of reasons. So that will be interesting on count day. I mean, it must have been really difficult for Jim Gavin, because if you look at the campaign videos and the campaign launch and any of the players who spoke about him, what's the core belief in Jim Gavin, the core tenet that drives everything? It's never give up. It's even in the campaign video with kids, never give up. Micheál Martin alludes to that in the 6-1 interview, that Jim Gavin is competitive to his core, which would lead you to think that at some point on Sunday, the push in some way probably comes on, even though he ultimately makes the decision himself.
Well, it's been a fabulously interesting presidential campaign so far. So who knows what can happen over the coming weeks. Thank you both gentlemen for coming on the podcast. A long day and probably a few hours to go yet still.
And finally, before we go, who would have thought that when it came to ball skill and the like and being a skillful player in this campaign, that the focus wouldn't be on Jim Gavin anymore, it would be on the extraordinary Catherine Conley.
I saw her doing the keepy uppies again today in a video, and I think she did about 6 of them or 7 before she lost control of the ball.
Apparently, when she was young, she said she could do 100.
But she was good good on the basketball as well. So this is.
Well, the ring was lower now because it was a national school.
So but even on the move, my son plays basketball and he said he liked her moves.
There you are. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again.